This is episode 140 of How to Human. In this episode, we are continuing our feminism series. And in this episode, we are doing third wave feminism. Third wave feminism started in the early 1990s. And one of the big events that is credited with starting third wave feminism is the Anita Hill hearings during the confirmation of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. And the narrative around those hearings in terms of feminism is that it was a sight to see a black woman being questioned by an all-white, all-male Senate Judiciary panel and either not believing or not caring about her experience, if they did believe her, believing Anita Hill's experience, which is hurtful on two fronts. Either one, they didn't believe her because she's a woman or care about her, or they didn't care about her story or believe her because she's a black woman. And what that brought about was the main theme of third wave feminism, which I think is individualism. That every woman has their own story to tell and their own experience. And it's not any other person's right to tell them, to tell any woman what their experience can be, was, or should be. Each woman can dress how they want, think how they want, and be who they want. And because each person has their own individual story, intersectionality was introduced, which is the idea that there are layers of oppression, that a person can be differently affected by the oppression of society based on the different classes that they belong to. So, for example, it's hard for a woman, but different and probably harder for a black woman, and different and harder yet still for a gay black woman, and different and yet harder still for a gay black woman who grew up in poverty. And the ability to tell those stories, to hear those stories, to want those stories to be told and expressed aloud for a different kind of understanding for what it was like to be a woman in the world. Because prior to that, second wave feminism, as much as they didn't, it wasn't really their stated goal. It was really run by middle and upper middle class white women. And while they did do some work with the civil rights movement, generally it is considered, and at least it was considered by a lot of third wave feminists, that a lot of the second wave work was done to help white women and the needs of women of color were ignored. So as consciousness expanded, as people became more aware of people in pain, the group expanded. Women of color were brought in, transgender women were included, and there was a greater consciousness and awareness of how race and gender expression, also gay rights, were more included, more inclusive in this new definition of feminism, as there was a want to allow for all these different ideas to exist and be respected by the culture at large. One of the big themes in third wave feminism brought from individualism was, you can't tell me who to be. And so the idea was that stereotypes and generalizations were hurtful and oftentimes invalid, which meant that there was a want to remove those ideas from society, to stop repeating things that necessarily marginalized people who didn't fit those stereotypes and generalizations. So what came about was the idea of microaggressions. This was mostly considered against minorities, but also against women as well. It's where the two fit together as groups that saw themselves as victims of definitions by other people, and those definitions were hurtful. And some of those definitions came across as stereotypes about behavior or looks or what people are capable of. And the want was to remove those, boxes that society placed on people. While the theme may have been individualism, that isn't to say that there weren't a set of group wants for third wave feminists. They were looking at race issues, social class issues, and transgender rights as part of their core ideas that they advocated for. But they also were looking at the glass ceiling in the work world, unfair maternity leave issues, respect for working mothers, the rights of mothers who would choose to be moms instead of continue their careers. So they did have things that they were fighting for, things that they still felt were parts of society that didn't consider the female opinion. That's a lot of it. So if men are defining the world, if men run the world and define the world through their lens, then they're not going to consider the perspective of others. And so the idea that women would have voices, have loud voices about their individual experiences instead of the voices of the group, because the voices of the group necessarily mean that the group needs to agree on a set of themes that they want to be expressed. Whereas if everybody has a voice, everybody can say, this is my particular issue. And then there can be not a consensus, but sort of a grassroots effort to find a central theme of where problems lie, as opposed to a centralized authority like the National Organization for Women or Ms. Magazine defining what feminism is and what women are. And with the grassroots effort, there's room for a more broad definition of both women, femininity, and feminism. When I think of third wave feminism, as I experienced it in the late 90s and early 2000s, I think of it as a rejection of labels. I think of it as, don't define me, I'll define myself. You can't define what a woman looks like. No one can. I'll choose that for myself. And that's something that's easy to respect. I want everybody to be their most authentic selves. And anything less than that, any kind of external definition, is hurtful as long as it works for them. So then the question becomes, at a certain level, what is authentic to them? And then what is being taught via some kind of social construction? And the idea is that in a patriarchal society where men define the language, define the boxes, define the history, where is the room for female opinion that differs from that? Even the language that they used was all defined by men. This is masculinity, this is femininity. Who defined femininity? Who defined that? Men did. So the idea was that maybe these definitions are even invalid because women didn't define them. And women, in the course of looking for their own female-sourced definition of women, can't look to terms created by men that necessarily have some sort of bias built into them as ways to look for that definition. I'd be remiss if I didn't put in a small section on gender norms, where we define gender norms as the traditional idea of what men do and what women do and are. And so if we define those as, well, gender norms in general would just be the expectations of society. And traditional gender norms would be the historical idea of what a man and a woman are and behave like. And third wave feminism brought about a rejection of gender norms, probably for both men and women, in that they are both potentially hurtful definitions that put people in boxes that may or may not be authentic. So the idea was that there would be a large-scale rejection of gender norms, things that are anachronisms of a times past when people necessarily needed to fit into a paradigm that they didn't create or ask for. And those things can be rewritten per third wave feminism, rewritten to be whatever makes sense for the person, because each person is an individual with an individual set of wants, needs, and feelings. In summary, when looking at third wave feminism, I think it's about who is defining what you should be. And the idea behind the individualism of third wave feminism is that nobody should be defining that. But when it was defined, who was defining it? There's the idea that some second wave feminists fought with third wave feminists because they weren't defending the same kind of feminism that their mothers had advocated for. That there was a box of approved behavior, messaging, ways to look and behave. Because frankly, there was a centralized idea of what feminism was and what women were, then it was still a box. And the question was, why were women creating limiting boxes for other women? Even in that idea that second wave feminists and third wave feminists would argue, why would second wave feminists have any kind of idea of where what their limitations should be and who would create those limitations? Well, the answer would be some kind of male definition, because women wouldn't have created limitations for themselves. Or at least that's what I gather the third wave feminists would have thought. That there shouldn't be any definitions on us because we define things for ourselves. If somebody other than us is defining our limitations, it is necessarily somebody who isn't us and trying to make us something that we are not. Therefore, we reject that idea that anybody can have that kind of power. And what we're talking about here, probably, if women aren't doing it, then we're talking about men. And that is probably where the idea of the patriarchy comes from. That there's a group outside of women who is defining the box that women live in. And there's a rejection of that in third wave feminism. The term third wave feminist comes from Rebecca Walker, who wrote in Ms. Magazine this in 1992. "So I write this plea to all women, especially women of my generation. Let Thomas's confirmation serve to remind you, as it did me, that the fight is far from over. Let this dismissal of a woman's experience move you to anger. Turn that outrage into political power. Do not vote for them unless they work for us. Do not have sex with them. Do not break bread with them. Do not nurture them if they don't prioritize our freedom to control our bodies and our lives. I am not a post-feminism feminist. I am the third wave." Unquote. I felt like I wanted to read that. It's a reminder of the anger of it. There's anger in all of it. There's a need, a deep wanting need to be heard and to be listened to. And that's where feminism comes from oppression, from not being treated fairly or equally. And the idea of this phase was, we all have voices. Women do. Women all have voices. Hear them. They are in pain. and they need to be addressed. No matter the color, no matter the sexual orientation, no matter the transgender status, women need to be heard, and they want you to hear them. That's the end of this episode of How to Human. If you like this podcast, give it 5 stars. If you hate this podcast, give it 5 stars. If you have comments or death threats, please send those to howtohumancdt@gmail.com. Talk to you next time.